On this day, May 31st, 1998, the Skagit County Juvenile Court finds the child minor, Krista Walia, guilty of the charges of disorderly conduct and truancy. If the above-named child is absent from school again without an approved excuse, any deputy sheriff, police officer, or school official can make an arrest and take the child into custody without a warrant. What the fuck? I stood there, 12 years old, angry and numb. The judge said, "If I see you back in court, you will be sent to juvenile detention." I was in court because I told the racist vice principal to fuck off in front of 30 middle schoolers and teachers. He stood there and told me, "I see your future behind bars in an orange jumpsuit, knocked up by some dirty Mexican." I refused to take his bullshit. All the kids started chanting, "Krista, Krista, Krista." The police were called, and I was charged with disorderly conduct and inciting a riot. Two of my proudest life accomplishments. Back in seventh grade, I'd been the shy, straight-A kid. By the eighth grade, I couldn't take it. I'd had enough of my chaotic home life. It was me against the world. I became this fiery, take-shit-from-nobody girl who would kick your ass if you looked at me the wrong way. I also found my crew, the other brown kids, the Mexican Chola girls with the dark lipstick, thick eyeliner, crunchy hair gel, and black dickies. We cussed in Spanish, smoked weed before school, skipped class, and we knew every lyric to every Tupac song. "To all my sisters on welfare, Tupac cares, if don't nobody else care." I was expelled from the eighth grade because what else did I have to live for? I grew up in Cedar Woolley, around the crazy, poor, white, alcoholic, gun-toting, dip-spitting side of my family. Underneath all the layers of chewing tobacco spit and racism, my family are actually hardworking, blue-collar, real, authentic people. My sisters and I stuck out, though. We were the three brown kids in the family. People called us spick, wetback, dirty Mexicans. Our own mom didn't even want us. We had three different dads who weren't around either. My mom was so mentally ill, our family often says she should never have had kids. But there we were. Our mom was never home. Where the hell was she? When she was around, she was awful. She would have full-blown meltdowns. I remember one Christmas, we were playing outside in the snow, making noise, laughing, you know, being kids. My mom comes out to the porch and in front of the entire Section 8 housing complex, on Christmas morning, yells, "Shut up, you little cunts!" My way of coping was to be a smartass, so I yelled back across the parking lot, "Merry Christmas, everybody!" I do credit her for helping me develop my sense of humor. That day back in middle school, my grandma Trixie took me to court. Because, of course, my mom was nowhere to be found. I remember Trixie puffing her Virginia Slim Ultralight, saying, "God, kid, you'll be all right as long as you don't turn out like your mother." That day in court was the wake-up call I needed. Driving home in her baby blue Thunderbird, Trixie said, "Kid, you can still turn this around. I hear they give minorities full-ride scholarships to college these days." What? I'm a minority? Holy shit, I had a way out of Cedar Woolley? That day, my grandma planted a seed. Come high school, I turned things around. I stopped skipping class, I quit smoking, and I was even president of the Spanish club. Props to my cholas for that one. Tupac's music gave me hope. "I was born not to make it, but I did. The tribulations of a ghetto kid and still I rise." I graduated high school and college and eventually got a job as a counselor helping students like me. Trixie always said, "Praise the Lord and pass the ammunition. You got out, kid. It's nothing short of a miracle." You'd barely even know I'm from Woolley. Minus the severe anxiety attacks, occasional night terrors, and crippling self-doubt. I mean, fuck, I couldn't come out completely unscathed. But like Trixie said, it is nothing short of a miracle. I got out. Trixie isn't with us anymore. She's up there with Tupac in Thug's Mansion. May they both rest in paradise. Come to find out, where was my mom all those nights? She was out searching for belonging through her yoni, hooking up with South Asian dudes up and down the I-5 corridor. When I met my dad for the first time, I was not expecting the beard or the turban. Turns out he's a Sikh dude from Punjab, India. I'm fucking Punjabi? And all that time I spent as a Chola. When I met my dad and his family for the first time, it was like a scene from the Maury Povich show. I walked in and we were all thinking the same thing. With 99.9% accuracy, he is the father. And goddamn, I finally knew where I got my nose from. My connection with my dad was undeniable. It wasn't just our big noses. Turns out we both have the same dry sense of humor and love of nature. Papa Wally and I stay in touch almost every day. In true Punjabi father fashion, he texts me motivational videos about how to live my best life, and he sends anything and everything about Sikhism and Punjabi culture. I really cherish our connection because I'm learning about a part of my heritage that was completely unknown to me growing up. When I reconnected with my dad, people in Woolley asked, "How the hell did some dude with a turban meet your white-ass country mom? In Woolley, of all places. And in the 1980s. I, too, have often asked myself that. And honestly, I really don't know. All I know is that I'm the very unlikely product of a Punjabi Sikh immigrant and a poor white racist woman from Cedar Woolley. And I still struggle feeling like I belong in South Asian community. When I talked to my therapist, she told me, "What are you talking about, Krista? You should be proud. You are putting Cedar Woolley on the map as part of the greater South Asian diaspora." So here I am, my gift to you all.